Good morning. This morning I had planned to preach on or speak on prayer and how prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian faith, how it defines our relationship with God when we communicate with Him in prayer. I was also going to tell you a wee story about Joshua. Now, Joshua is not his real name. We had to change it to protect his identity. Now, Joshua was 6 years old. Will I tell the story? Oh, well, wait. Joshua was 6 years old and he was ready for bed. He had his gym jams on. And his mother and granny were looking on as he knelt down to pray. And he prayed for his mum and dad that they'd be safe and well. He prayed for this and he prayed for that. And all of a sudden he says, and remember, Lord, bring me back that new bike. And his mother and granny looked and the mother bent down and says, Joshua, what are you doing? What are you shouting for? God's not deaf. He says, I know, Mum, but Granny is. But God redirected me to speak on the feeding of the 5,000 and Peter walking on the water. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 33. Just before I go into reading this, just before this, the previous verses talks about John the Baptist had been murdered. He had been beheaded by Herod on the whims of a young girl. And the scripture verses go, and as soon as Jesus heard the news about John the Baptist, he went off by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed by land from many villages. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. That evening the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go back to their villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus replied, that isn't necessary. You feed them. Impossible. Impossible, they exclaimed. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Two fish. Bring them here, Jesus said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave some of the bread and fish to each disciple, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men had eaten from those 5 loaves and 2 fish, in addition to all the women and children. Now, it's estimated that there was more than 5,000 on the hillside that day. They do estimate it's something along the lines of 13, 15,000 it was there. Immediately after feeding the 15,000, Jesus made his disciples go back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Afterwards, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell when he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. It's all right, he said. I am here. Don't be afraid. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water. All right, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. You don't have much faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Amen. If I had a title for this morning, it would be, Let's Get Out the Boat. Here we have the feeding of the 5,000, as I say, roughly 15,000, and Peter walking on the water. That day, Jesus went to find some space to perhaps pray for John the Baptist, who had just died, to remember his friend, his cousin. But the crowds followed him, as usual. He couldn't find... And this was a remote place he was heading to, and yet still the crowds found him. But did Jesus send him away? No. Jesus preached, and he healed people. He had compassion on them. and 5,000 people, and many more, were fed with five loaves and two fish. 15,000. He had compassion on the crowds that were there. And it must have been, we've just recently had long, hot days. Can you imagine trying to feed 15,000 people on a hillside? The sun beating down on you. You're running about with food for all the people that was there that day. But Jesus said to them, go, get in the boat and go across the lake. Jesus cared for the disciples. He knew. He knew they were shattered. He knew they were tired. He had spent hours and upon hours on that hillside, as I said, with the sun beating down on them. Jesus says, go in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. You can almost see the disciples saying, thank goodness, we'll get a break. Lifted anchor. You see them pushing the boat out and rowing to where they were going. Here we see how much Jesus cares for his disciples. Here we see how much Jesus cares for us. When we're working hard for the Lord, for the task that he gives us, Jesus cares for us, and he loves us, and he shows us compassion. I think that's amazing. You know, sometimes we can think that God is not there, but God is right there. As I say, the disciples never stopped all day, making sure everyone was fed. And I can imagine that people in the crowds were angry that they weren't being fed quick enough. So maybe the disciples were people angrily shouting at them, come on, where's mine, where's mine, where's mine? It was someday, but Jesus sent them away to recharge their batteries, to have a bit of R&R, a bit of rest and relaxation. After Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the hillside to pray. Jesus, as I say, was concerned about the mental, physical, and spiritual well-being of his disciples. So he sends them away to rest. And he's concerned about our mental well-being and our spiritual well-being. He's concerned about our being, our spirituality. He shows us compassion, and he shows us love. So it's okay to have a rest sometimes when you're working for God. It's okay to have a rest. That's what Jesus is saying. Look, I'll deal with this. You go away and find some solace for yourself. Find some space. Relax. Of course, the disciple says, yeah, that'd be great, Lord. I'll go and get a bit of rest. The disciples obeyed Jesus that day. They didn't say, no, I want to stay, Lord. No, I'll help you dismiss the crowds. And they went. They obeyed Jesus. And they will, in fact, come face to face with a mighty storm. Now, the Sea of Galilee at this was well known for spontaneous storms. You know, you could have a clear blue sky within 5 minutes. It was a storm. And here the disciples were stuck in this storm. The disciples wouldn't have known there was bad weather on the way because they didn't have Windy Wilson telling them what to do. I don't know if anybody knows Windy Wilson. They didn't have a phone app. They didn't watch it on BBC Scotland. This is the news for the weather for today. But remember, the storm was not unforeseen by Jesus. Jesus was up on the hillside, and he knew precisely where the disciples were. There were lessons for the disciples in the midst of that storm. As there are when we go through storms in our own life. You know, you could be driving, you could be having great days, the last month has been great, and you're riding along on a crest of a wave, and then something happens that brings you, and it's tragic sometimes. But maybe that's just that the Lord is testing us. You know, like he tested these disciples in this boat in the middle of the storm. As I say, Jesus went up the hillside to pray, and at night fell, he was praying, and the disciples were going through the storm. At around 3 a.m., they seen a figure walking towards them, and the figure was walking on top of the water. What were their thoughts at that point? They seen a human being walking on top of the water. No wonder they screamed in terror. they thought they were seeing a ghost. And they did not recognize Jesus at first. All they seen was a figure. But Jesus was right there. They didn't recognize him. And Jesus says, "It's me. Don't be afraid. It is I." Peter right away said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come now." The wind was howling and the rain was lashing. The waves were high. And Peter says, "Bid me to come on the water." Jesus replied, "Oh, don't be daft, Peter. How can you walk in the water?" No, he didn't. He said, "Okay, come." And Peter done an amazing thing. In the middle of the storm, he put one leg over the boat. And can you imagine the other disciples' reaction? "What are you doing? What are you thinking about? What, Peter, why?" And he puts another leg over the boat. And then he stands with one foot on top of the water. Then he puts the other one down. And he stands on top of the water. And he starts walking towards Jesus. What a scene. What a scene that was that day for the disciples. Fear kept the disciples in that boat, apart from Peter. Peter knew that he'd seen Jesus create many miracles. He had faith in Jesus at that very point. And I asked myself, is this the faith of a mustard seed? When you step out of the boat and on top of the water. Notice that Peter asked for permission to come out and to walk in the water. He didn't just jump out the boat and start walking. He says, "Lord, can I bid me to come on the water?" He asked and he waited for permission. And as Peter was walking towards Jesus, eyes locked on Jesus, eyes to eyes, faith right there, for a split second he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. He started to drown. Notice that Peter didn't try to swim. Peter must have been a good swimmer. He'd been around water all his life. But he didn't. He didn't. He sank and he was drowning. And he shouted out one of the shortest verses in the Bible, "Lord, save me." And Jesus says, No, it's your own fault, Peter. You shouldn't have jumped out the boat like that. He instantly saved him. And that's what Jesus does. We cry out to him, he instantly reaches out a hand to pick us up, to save us. Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the one that's sent by God to redeem Israel. Peter got out of the boat, and at times Jesus will ask us to get out of the boat. Jesus will ask us in our Christian life to get out of the boat. When we are facing mighty storms, we have a choice to make. Do we focus in the storms of our life? Do we just sit in the boat and scream in terror? Woe is me, what am I going to do? I mean, the disciples must have thought they may have lost their lives that day. The storm was so bad. Oh, to have the faith to walk on water. The faith of a mustard seed. But Jesus rebuked them for having little faith. I think the reason Jesus rebuked him was because he was doing it. He was walking on water. And how many times have we been going along in a Christian life? Then we take a turn to the right. And Jesus is like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm here. You've loved me, you've worshipped me, you've adored me, you've been faithful in the church. And yet all of a sudden you're taking your eyes off me." And this is what Peter done. He took his eyes off of Jesus and started to drown and sink. Instantly, Jesus reached out for Peter's arm and drew him out of the water and put him back in the boat. And immediately the storm stopped. The lesson had been learned: to trust in Jesus, to get out of the boat, not sit in the boat fearful of your life, but to get out of the boat and walk towards Jesus. The Christian faith is supposed to be an adventure. It's meant to be an exciting adventure as we walk with Jesus in our lives. But we can't do this if our lack of faith keeps us in the boat, basically in our comfort zones. We need to get up away from our comfort zones, get out of the boat and walk towards Jesus. Many Christians will struggle and live below their spiritual needs. God may have given us gifts, to work in the ministry for him, whatever that may be. But our lack of faith keeps us in the boat. We don't have the faith to believe in the many promises of God in Scripture. They will stay in the boat. They will look at the storm raging around them, whatever that may be. We will focus in on our own personal story and not get out of the boat. If you were in the boat that morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, what would your reaction be? Would you shout hallelujah at Jesus? Or would you be in the boat screaming in terror? Saying, oh no, no, what's happening here? No, no. Or would you be like Peter, who recognized Jesus and got out the boat? I think I know what my reaction would have been. I think I would have feared in case I was going to lose my life that day. But Jesus is saying, get out the boat. Jesus says to Peter, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus consistently tells us not to be afraid. It's mentioned at least 64 times in Scripture. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. I am here. So he's telling us emphatically that he doesn't want us to fear. The disciples were fear, and they stayed in their boat. Fear kept them in that boat. Peter's eyes were fixed on the Lord's eyes, but he started to drown. And that's what can happen to us if we take our eyes off Jesus. We can start to sink and drown. And we need to cry out, Lord, save us. Peter had real faith that morning when he stepped out that boat to walk on water. Notice that Peter did not ask Jesus to stop the storm. Now that would have been a thing that you may have prayed, we've prayed in our own lives. Stop this from happening. Don't let this happen. But Peter didn't. He didn't ask for the storm. He asked, can I come out and walk in the water with you, Jesus? And Jesus said, yes, okay. And if we ask Jesus something for us to do, he will grant it. But we need to have the faith, real faith, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need real faith. God will only lead us as far as our faith will take us. I'll say that again. God will only lead us as far as our faith will take us. So if your faith is sitting in a boat, moaning, screaming in terror, then God will let you do that. Notice that he didn't say to the rest of the disciples, the rest of you, get out of the boat and come towards me. He didn't. He let them sit in the boat. We need, as Christians, we need to have real faith and believe in the promises of God. We live in a world of the possible. Everything's possible nowadays. But we serve a God of the impossible. And we need to remember that we serve a God of the impossible. We can't limit God to our worldly standards. We need to praise God and know that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. We serve a God of the impossible, and I think that's amazing. Whatever situation we are in, we serve a God of the impossible, and God loves to hear the prayers of his people. If we want to walk in water this morning, we need to get out of the boat. We need to get out of our comfort zone. Where are we this morning? Are we sitting in the boat? Or, well, the storms of life batter us? Are we screaming in terror? Are we complaining about the situation we're facing this morning? Why me, not me, Lord? Is fear making you sit in the boat? I don't want to get out of this boat. I'm quite comfortable here. I need to sit in the boat. I don't want to get out. God may ask me to do something that I don't want to do. Where are we? Are we in that boat this morning, or are we walking on water? We may face many storms in our life, but God is sitting right beside you. I was thinking, and I can never say the names of somebody can help me, and Daniel with the three guys in the furnace. Abstract, what is it? Thank you. Three guys who refused to worship an idol were thrown in a furnace. Did they complain? Did they stay in the boat and worship the idol so they wouldn't be murdered? But when they went to the furnace, who was there? Jesus, right in the midst. And Jesus was here right in the midst, and Jesus is with you right in the midst. We need to have real faith to get out of the boat. Can we do this? Can we do this? Can we be like Peter, have the faith of a mustard seed? Can we walk in water? You bet you can. Because we serve a God of the impossible. Now, I don't want you to go to the nearest river or something and try it. But there are times in our life when God will take us out of the boat. Our God is not a God of fear. And fear kept the disciples, the rest of the disciples, in that boat. We serve a mighty Saviour, and all things are possible with him. Why do we live in fear? I know someone once says, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. We have Jesus on our side. Jesus knew what was happening right in, with the disciples in the midst of that storm. He knew what was happening. Did he panic? Oh no. He went to them at 3:00 in the morning. And he knows what's happening in your lives. He knows what's happening in our lives. And he's there with you. Stay in the boat or have real faith in Jesus and get out of the boat and walk towards Jesus. Real faith knows the power and potential of our God. We believe he can do anything. He's a God of the impossible. And the truth of the matter is that power, the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that works in you and me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we have the same power within us. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 says this: the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as he raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living with you. We have the same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have power. Some of us have pulled out the plug, maybe, and the power's not there at the moment, but plug it back into Jesus and you will have the power, the Spirit of the living God. Real Christian faith believes that God can and expects that he will act. When we ask God something, he will act. He won't wait around. Bold faith is listening to what God calls us to do, taking a step of real faith and then expecting God to meet us there. Real faith gets us out of the boat. So where are we this morning? Are we in the boat, screaming in terror, or are we coming out the boat, walking towards Jesus? You see, it's a choice. It's a personal choice. I'll stay where I'm comfortable. I'll stay in the boat. I'll stay in the boat that secures me. If God asks me to do something, I'm no really ready to get out of the boat. But if God is asking you, then you are ready. Jesus knew Peter was ready to walk. Jesus knew that Peter had real faith at that moment. He didn't, and that's why he didn't dissuade him from getting out of the boat and walking on choppy water. So God wants you and needs you to live by the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's a choice this morning, and I'll leave that with you. Do I stay in the boat, or do I get out? Amen.